Shabbat Shalom. You know, before I get started, this probably should be under announcements, but my wife and I watched a great documentary last night, and it's going to be repeated 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday on PBS, and if you would like to tape it, you might. But the name of it was G.I. Jew of World War II. And it actually goes through from the 30s, the late 30s, to the 40s after the war. And it is really, really good. I haven't seen one that good in a long time. It even brought out the point that, and I don't know whether you guys are know this or not, but you know, in the 40s, in the 40s, the 30s, the 40s, and even after the war, Jews were not allowed to stay in hotels on the East Coast. They had signs up there that said, and I've seen pictures of these signs from my relatives' books, where it says, blacks, Jews, and dogs not allowed. They weren't even allowed in Palm Beach, or not Palm Beach, but Florida, most of Florida, during that time. And now we own it. Parasha Shemini, and it, as Pastor Sam said, goes from Leviticus 9:1 to 11:47. It's a troubling one for me. Actually, I'm going to steal somebody's line. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Thank you, Charles. The Mishkan was finally completed, and the celebration had begun. Aharon, the high priest, and his children brought special offerings. And the joy of accompaniment permeated the camp. And tragedy struck. Aaron's two sons, Nadab and Abihu, or if you're in Israel, Avihu, brought an offering that the Torah describes as alien fire, that God had not commanded. A fire went out from before Hashem and consumed them, and they died before Hashem, Leviticus 10:1-3. Well, I've read what the Talmud and other commentaries have to say, but I'm still not sure of what sin they committed, the exact sin. Some say they got in the face of Moshe. In other words, they were going to do it their way. Others say that they performed their service after drinking wine. Well, one said that their true punishment was deserved at Sinai because they refused to marry and that they thought no maiden was good enough for them. Another is that they began to discuss their future leadership roles that they would secure after the two old men, Moses and Aaron, passed on. Well, I see a question here. If those were the actual sins, why then did the Torah use the terminology, a strange fire that Hashem had not commanded to describe their sin. Obviously, those words seem to describe, or each one of the stories seem to describe what they had done or could have done. But how? I'm a little confused. So I found a story. The Dumno Magig, and that is the rabbi teacher, Jacob ben Wolf Kantz. And I had to go clear to the Ukraine to find him. He would often relate the following parable. After receiving his promotion to captain, a young sergeant was given his new uniform. He was strictly warned by his appointing general, "Officer, this uniform is your badge of honor. Wear it in pride and never remove it in public. Remember, you represent the king's elite force, and your life is devoted to enhance the honor of his kingdom." Remember those words. Not long after his commission, some seaman in a public park chided the young officer. "We hear you have a large tattoo across your chest reading, 'I miss mommy.'" The young officer was enraged at the humiliation claim and disputed it hotly. He was tempted to strip to the waist, but remembered the stern warning not to remove his coat. Suddenly, one of the sailors declared, "We will contribute 500 golden pieces of the king's treasury if you don't have the tattoo, but only if you prove it now." At that point, the sergeant felt this would surely bring pressure to the commander in chief. He bared his chest, proved his point, and collected the 500 gold coins. He ran to the general with the money and expected praise. Unfortunately, a shower of abuse greeted the officer. "You stupid fool. I just lost a fortune because of your stupidity. I bet the Navy Admiral 2,500 gold pieces that not one of my soldiers would ever remove his uniform publicly." Maybe, just maybe, there's something common with all the explanations of the sins of Nadab and Abihu. They had the best intentions, but their actions lacked protocol and guidance. Without using direction, can have a disastrous result. Nadab and Abihu were considered very holy and pious, but the small degree of overconfidence led to their acting without checking with someone of higher authority. It led to their demise. Perhaps they felt they were in a position to render judgment without Moshe, or that a little wine may have enhanced their service. Maybe they felt that marriage was beneath them. In theory, they all may be correct. But they made a decision without consultants, advice, or consent. They may have been looking forward to a leadership that would never come about. But they had the desire to contribute their own fire according to their own visions. But the Torah considered it alien. I believe that there's a parallel here between the golden calf. The people made up their mind at that time, too, to have their own God, little g. Well, I don't think Hashem was going to let that happen again. When you're dealing with the master of the universe, you take the greatest of precautions. You're in his service, and you're to do his work. You cannot forego the slightest directive. You experiment with fire, especially alien fire, and guess what? You get burnt. Shabbat Shalom.